You are listening to Punk News Podcast, episode 540.5. DJ Johnny G plays Dollar Bin New Wave for you. Let's go.
Jungle, see jungle.
Yes, and that was Bow Wow Wow. And the theme of today's special is I'm just going to play a bunch of tunes, and it's going to be tracks that I got out of the dollar record bin that are new wave. I mean, I love new wave. I love obscure new wave. I love well-known new wave. You're probably not going to know a lot of stuff that we're going to play. You're going to know some of it. And I'm just going to play, I mean, recently I've been on kind of a new wave quest to, you know, get anything. If I'm flipping through the dollar bin and I see something that looks like it might be new wave, I just pick it up. I don't Google it. I don't listen to it. I don't spin it at the record store. I just buy it and take it home. And for the most part, you get some okay stuff. You get some really bad stuff that isn't new wave, and it's just bad 70s or 80s rock. And once in a while, you get some amazing new wave that nobody knows about. And so today we're going to play cool stuff that I've gotten, some mediocre stuff that I got that is interesting. That first track was Bow Wow Wow. Of course, as all the listeners know, Bow Wow Wow was the Annabelle Lynn and three other people, and that was the band formed by Malcolm McLaren after the Sex Pistols broke up. They're famous for their hit I Want Candy, which is a cool track, but their entire discography is really, really good and much more than their 80s one-hit wonder would suggest. That was the 12-inch mix of Sea Jungle, which is a lot different than the album mix. The album version is kind of about having fun, I guess, and just relaxing, whereas the 12-inch mix is almost like a sequel, and it's about warring in post-apocalyptic urban war zones and thriving despite that, which I think is pretty rad and pretty wild. Let's kick it off with the next track. It's going to be by a pretty obscure band, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and we'll be back.
White. Little Miss Rover, she's a model daughter, she's a credit to her race. Little Miss Rover.
And that was Flock of Seagulls doing Standing in the Doorway. A lot of people might think of Flock of Seagulls as a cheesy 80s band with the silly haircuts. But, I mean, all their albums, but especially the first, like, doesn't really, like, the hit single doesn't really give you a view of who the band really are. Especially the first album is kind of this dark, pessimistic, robotic album about being picked up by aliens and abducted, and it's really trippy and really cool. Before that was Susan Ree and the Orientals. Susan Ree and the Orientals only ever did two 12-inches. One was an EP, the other was a 12-inch single. That track was a little misproper off the first EP. Susan's a pretty interesting person. She's actually more of an actress than a musician. After Susan Ree and the Orientals, I guess, kind of broke up or didn't do that much, she went into acting. And if you watch Blade Runner and you see, like, the Kabuki girl on the big advertisement screen early on in the movie, that's Susan Ree. She's also been in a whole bunch of Marvel movies. The second Susan Ree and the Orientals movie is called Psychology. And I mean, I don't know about this, but it almost seemed like it was maybe, like, pushed by Scientology, that single, only because it's very against psychology and psychiatric help, which is kind of a Scientologist thing. So I don't know, maybe I'm reading too far into it. But they're both cool either way. Before that, we played I Got a Job by Beru Review. Beru Review is a very localized Philadelphia new wave band from the 80s. Their own was more theatrical, kind of like World Inferno, than strictly new wave. And so they never really broke out, but in Philadelphia, they've got somewhat of a cult following. They reunited a little while ago, and they do a show like every 3 or 4 years, and they're a really cool band. Their first EP is probably the best. It's called I Got a Job, I think, or maybe just called Beru Review, but the first one, it's got like 6 or 7 tracks on it, and they're all killer. And before that, we opened with Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Nuclear Regulatory Commission is a pretty interesting band. They actually developed out of a folk psych prog band called The Farm Band. The Farm Band was actually an actual cult in the Midwest. They actually put out a couple of cookbooks that some people that are really into music are like into their cookbooks and stuff. They're not necessarily good. I mean, I don't think I see any cult as a good cult, but they're not like a Charles Manson murder cult or anything. They're kind of just like super hippie commune type people that like all live on the cold and, you know, I guess all share the same belief and kind of, I don't even know if the farm is still around anymore, but the Nuclear Regulatory Commission was actually a spinoff of the farm band, and it was kind of their attempt to, I guess, touch the new wave market and, I guess, kind of get their message out there that way. That track was Sugar. You know, the idea behind this special was I've got so many cool records that I've just picked up that look cool that I didn't know were cool, and they turn out to be awesome. I do fear that the age of the golden age of the dollar bin record might be over. I mean, most of the records I'm playing, I picked up between 1998 to 2008, when you could get a ton of amazing records for a dollar. I got Yellow Man records, Smith records, Judas Priest records, Black Uhuru records, tons of amazing records for a dollar each. I still do find cool stuff in the dollar bin fairly frequently. What I don't find is, like, I guess what you call like a valuable stuff or like a mega hit, like, you know, Rolling Stones X on Main Street, Smith's Queen Is Dead in the dollar bin. You're probably not going to find that anymore, but you still can find records that really aren't worth anything that are really, really good records. Even like Men at Work and Bow Wow Wow, you kind of can't find in the dollar bin as much these days. But like there's tons of, there is still some cool stuff in there. Your mind might not be as blown as frequently as it was, you know, a decade ago. You could get, like, almost anything in the dollar bin or crazy stuff in the dollar bin. But there still is cool stuff out there. You just got to, like, dig a little deeper and, I guess, take more chance, if you will. But when you're taking a chance for a dollar, who cares? Let's kick this off with another amazing track. The next segment off with another amazing track. This is the Fabulous Poodles doing Mr. Mike.
Can you hear my microphone? Singing to you, darling. As you sit all alone by your gramophone.
Turn up, turn up. my microphone.
Oh, just a little bit louder.
Turn up, turn up, turn up my microphone.
and that was True Facts and the Insaniacs. True Facts and the Insaniacs was a, well, actually they still are, I guess, technically a Washington, D.C. band. They only put out one album, which is pretty hard to find, and they're also on a reunion CD. They actually had a connection to Don Zitar before he started working with Minor Threat. He did some work on the first True Facts and the Insaniacs LP, and around that time he actually also recorded an album with someone else. But on their own, I mean, even without the Minor Threat Discord connection, True Facts is a really cool band. Before that, we played, you won't believe this, the Human League, the guys that did the hit Don't You Want Me Baby. And honestly, like, I wrote off Human League because at first it did seem like they were kind of like a cheesy 80s band. But honestly, like, everything Human League released from the late 70s through the 80s is really good. Their stuff from the 70s is almost like proto-new wave, proto-noise, kind of very minimalistic, stuff like a Warm Leatherette. By that guy, whatever, it starts with an N, you know, that weirdo guy that only put out that one single. And so anyways, it's Human League gradually became more listenable, if you will. But honestly, even their pop mainstream albums are really good. The big one that everyone knows is Dare, which has Don't You Want Me Baby. The Normal, that's the band I was thinking of with Warm Leatherette. Anyways, the album with Don't You Want Me Baby, that's Dare. That actually is a really, really good album. And the weird thing about that album is, as someone else pointed out on Twitter, that's one of these albums where the best three songs are the last three songs, which is kind of unusual. Anyway, Human League is really cool. We played The Dignity of Labor, which is one of their earliest tracks. Dignity of Labor Part 3, which is one of their earliest tracks. And honestly, like, every Human League album up through the late 80s, every release by Human League is actually pretty cool and pretty interesting and well done. Before that, we played this band called Rocks, which they only ever put out one album and two singles from the album. I think they actually might have just been a rock band that, as New Wave was kind of growing and exploding, the record label said, well, let's try to do you as a New Wave band. And so I think that's one of their albums that the band of themselves were really just like a rock band, but they kind of got like kind of a New Wave aspect added to them. Anyway, they've got one album just called Rocks, R-O-X, and the main guy's Mike Rocks, and it's a damn good album, and it's only, you can find that for a buck easy. That track was called But Tonight, and before that was, I guess, you know, we talk about proto-punk, proto-metal, but we opened up this segment with proto-new wave, a band called the Fabulous Poodles, which actually were pretty big in England. They put out three albums, the American versions of the English albums are kind of like The Clash in that it's a kind of a compilation of the first album and some singles, but they actually have some pretty twisted lyrics, and they're a really cool band, and there's actually a 3-CD box set by Cherry Records that has, or maybe it's even 4 or 5 CDs actually. It's got pretty much every single thing they ever recorded, and honestly, Fabulous Poodles are an amazing, amazing band that really don't get enough props. Let's kick off the next segment with one of my favorites, The Flames. I've talked about them a million times on the Punk News podcast. I'll talk about them at the end of this segment. But this is The Flames. Let's do the reggae track about getting beat up by the police. This is The Flames.
When you told the crowd to move and they wouldn't follow through, you just phoned to bring the police. They support you. They let up the fight, it wasn't good. They said, alright, we're gonna kill you. But you always survive, no matter how bad it gets. Always survive, no matter how it gets. Well, the police, they had that phony light, they could not use it for lies. And when they cracked that thing right down on your head, you're just barely alive. But you always survive, no matter how bad it gets. You always survive, no matter how it gets. 'Cause when you want it, you love it, you need it, yeah, you live it. Oh, oh, you live that danger for the only love. always survive, no matter how it gets. 'Cause when you want it, you love it, you need it, and you live it, you're gonna get the thing you waited for all your life. That's right, baby. When you really love it, it's gonna come to you. And you never get hurt, no, you never get caught, and you never have to run away, you just get lost. You don't get excited when things go wrong, no, you don't give a damn, you just keep on moving on, and you always survive, no matter how bad it gets. You always survive, no matter how it gets. Yeah, you always survive, no matter how it gets. Yeah, you always survive, no matter how bad it gets. You always survive.
Everything's great. sorry, but I'm fine. That's it.
Are everywhere. lately.
I've had dreams
lately.
Familiar scenes
lately.
I'm dreaming all the time
lately.
Trapped in their design. I've had dreams
lately.
Familiar scenes
lately.
I dream about you.
And lately
I distort the truth and then wish your rose in my head of things I might have done or that I once said. I look deep in my mind. It's just a fairy tale. It's all that I can find. It's
chance for a spray of you, babe.
Shine the dreams I design. Oh, it's day in my mind. It's
chance for a spray of you, babe.
Shine. And if I look, I find I'm somewhere lost in time.
Lately,
I dream my life away.
Lately,
I look for dreams to save.
Lately,
I've got nothing else to do.
So lately,
I dream about you. Everywhere I go, it seems the same. I'm somewhere stuck in time and in this city.
And that was The Quarks, which is a different band than Quarks. Or maybe no, that was just Quarks, not The Quarks. There's a million bands called The Quarks and Quarks and so forth. This Quarks was a band from New York City. They only put out one 12-inch single, and that was a track off of it called Senseless Preoccupation. Kind of gothy, kind of synth pop, kind of new wavy, just kind of cold industrial, well, not industrial, but pre-industrial kind of menacing type music. Before that, we played Kid Dynamo by The Buggles. They say, John, who were The Buggles? The Buggles were the band that did Video Killed the Radio Star. That record, actually, they only put out two albums, but the first one is the better one. That's the one that has Video Killed the Radio Star on it. That whole album, actually, like, really good and really new wavy and kind of you know, futuristic, sort of like Flock of Seagulls. Before that, we played The Lawn Chairs. I mean, I'm sorry, Our Daughter's Wedding, doing a track called Lawn Chairs. Our Daughter's Wedding was a very obscure English band. They only put out, I think, that 1-7 to maybe one other one, and that was it. So that was a cool kind of new wave track from England. Before that, we did No Guilt by The Waitresses. The Waitresses are the band that had that mega, mega, mega hit, I Know What Boys Like. Waitresses put out 2 albums and 1 EP, and all of it, honestly, is really, really good. It was collected as a double CD set called, I think, The Complete Waitresses. Unfortunately, that's, like, out of print and it's super expensive, like $100, $150. I'm saying it's worth it, but that being said, I don't know if you need to buy it unless you're a mega fan. I was lucky enough to get it. Well, I got the original Waitresses record for $1, I think, but I got the double CD set when it came out, so it wasn't that expensive. But anyways, a lot of people might not know that The Waitresses evolved out of an Akron, Ohio band called Tin Huey. And Tin Huey actually recorded a bunch of Waitresses songs before there were Waitresses songs. The main guy from Tin Huey, he is kind of the main guy in The Waitresses. I think he likes Tin Huey better. I actually like The Waitresses a lot better, but both bands are kind of cool, and The Waitresses are really cool. Before that, we played my boys, The Flames. I'm not going to tell the whole story again, but very brief story is, about 7 years ago or so, I found The Flames in, like, the $3 bin or something. It looked cool, but I didn't know what it was. It could have been disco, it could have been punk, it could have been new wave. I took it home, I played it, it was fantastic. There was a phone number written in hand on the back. On the Punk News Podcast, we called it as kind of a joke. About a month or 6 weeks later, I got an email from the sister of the guy who recorded the album. It turns out that the guy called Michael J. Richards, no relation to the Seinfeld guy. And basically, he recorded the album after being in a prog band called Troika and a garage rock band called the Royal Family before that. And basically, that was kind of his last shot at stardom, I guess, or his last shot at pop success. And he recorded it, and honestly, the record is really good. It's weird. It's new wavy, but the lyrics are extremely unique. And he actually recorded at a time when his marriage was breaking up, and that definitely comes through in the lyrics. You know, I'm sure he was having a hard time then, but artistically, it makes a really interesting record. No one bought the record. No record label bought the record, so it never actually came out. There's only promo copies, and the promo copy I had is one that he gave to some record executive in, like, 1979 or something. And so I said, well, let's put it out. So Michael was cool enough to let me put it out, so I put out his record, The Flames. We included 10 bonus tracks, or no, 12 bonus tracks, two rehearsal tracks from 1980, and then 10 later day solo tracks by Michael Solo. And honestly, it is a really cool record. You can get it at Narmer Rec. No, The Flames 1980.bandcamp.com, I think, or you can just email me where to get it. I'm really proud of that. I mean, Michael did, but I'm really thrilled that I got to put it out. I really do think it's a great record. You can always reach me at johng@punknews.org. Let's give some thanks to the wonderful record stores that made the Dollar Bin New Wave Special possible. We got to thank Sit and Spin Records in Philadelphia. We got to thank Jupiter Records in Delaware, Streetlight Santa Cruz, Streetlight San Jose, Rasputin Records, Mountain View, which is no longer there, Rasputin Records, Campbell, California, Princeton Record Exchange, and Dollar Bins everywhere, man. I love them. I love the Dollar Bin. Let's close out this special with the greatest Dollar Bin New Wave band of all, Men at Work, doing Who Can It Be Now?
Tired. picture that I can see. It's just my fantasy.